When you record 10 minutes before the podcast starts, you can find a great non sequitur almost every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Pat Wick. She's back with us to talk about woo, the dangers of pseudoscientific nonsense, and all that malarkey.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
Y'all ready for this?
And Molly Glover.
Ow!
And that jock jam introduction is for our guest, Pat Wick.
Yay!
Hello.
Pat is married to Tim, the mother of his children.
Yes.
And has been on the podcast a few times before.
Frequent podcast guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is three, four?
At least three, maybe four. Yeah.
It might even be five.
Four. It's under a score. Under a score times. Yes. She's been on Geeks Without God.
Underscore. Yar. Old timey.
Less than a fortnight of episodes. And she's here to talk about woo.
Woo.
And the harm of woo. And not like... like four drunk white girls at the bar.
Or like a 60s game show sex.
Or like going on a rickety old roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, not that kind of woo. Pat, what kind of woo are you talking about?
We are talking about the pseudoscientific to out-and-out fraudulent hokery of trying to get people to do something and... that has no scientific basis,
mm-hmm.
to either better or heal themselves.
Is this, would you say it's accurate that this is con artistry masquerading as medicine or benefit?
Wellness.
Yeah. Yes and no. The reason I say yes is, yeah, I'm positive there are some people out there who are absolutely con artists and know that damn well it doesn't work. There's a lot of people out there who are true believers, however.
Mm.
And in some ways, very similar to, I don't know, most like religious things, too, of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
talking in tongues and various things like that.
It's,
there are believers.
True believers are the most dangerous.
If outright conning someone is like first degree murder, then these people would be like the manslaughterers of con artists.
Negligent homicide,
right.
They didn't want to murder you, but they didn't try to stop it.
Right.
Negligent chicanery.
Yeah. But they're not doing it for free, though, either. I mean, it's not like they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Even if they're buying into it, there's still some money to be made, right?
Yes, almost always. Lots of money.
I have friends who are into touch healing, and I'm pretty sure they do it like for money.
Even worse, the ones who are into the not touch healing, where they just hover.
Oh yeah,
yeah. channel your energy around with
aura
their hands.
Cleansing.
Oh yeah, the juice cleanses and the
no.
Aura cleansing.
Aura. Oh, I thought cleansing. Aura cleansing.
You are it.
Yes, I remember when Tim and I were going to the pre-birth classes at the hospital for, you know, getting ready for the impending kidlet. And it was offered that we could get somebody in who was certified, I don't know how you certify, to be aura cleanser for during labor, because it helps people.
Because you don't want your baby to pass through your nasty old vaginal aura if it's not nice and clean.
I don't know.
It's like hepatitis. If you have hepatitis, your baby could be born, you know, blind from hepatitis. And if your aura is like super, like really bad, then like your baby could have like negative thoughts.
I felt like the teacher when she was talking about stuff like that was behind her facade, rolling her eyes, kind of
absolutely.
Yeah, you can get this, and it doesn't do a goddamn bit of good, but if it's something that makes you feel better about giving birth, then whatever, lady, do what you do.
Well, your insurance doesn't pay for it, so, I mean, ideally, right? Insurance doesn't pay for that.
I have no idea, didn't care.
The only woo insurance covers is chiropractors.
Yeah.
I am going there. So, woo, I went online and found some information that I printed out that I think is pretty interesting.
Please.
So, they have a definition. Oh, the wiki page that I found actually sounds like a really fun wiki page to have around just for geeks without God.
Like a rabbit hole.
It's the rationalwiki.org.
Yeah.
So,
sounds... Yeah.
And I did not know about it before.
You can look up all your logical fallacies and stuff there and find some
there's
examples.
There's some of those mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
So they define it as a pseudoscientific explanations that share certain common characteristics. It often being too good to be true, aside from being unscientific. The term is, you know, common. There goes a bunch of descriptions. Everyone can go read it if they want. But there are... characteristics that they think are mostly applies to what woo is. And they were saying it's not a like a positive negative. They can are gradients of.
Sure, okay. These are
not
like
everything.
Like characteristics not, of but not exclusive to.
Spectrum, not binary.
Right.
So, for example, they use anecdotal evidence as and testimonials that it's a panacea. So it can do lots of other things. The pseudoscientific part of it has things like, you know, they do science woo where they use real terms but not in the way they're meant to be, like quantum.
Oh, sure.
And toxics.
Oh, yeah.
Toxins. I love toxins. They can...
I love Toxie.
There are all sorts of toxins.
I love Toxie, the Toxic Avenger. He's
I love
he's
Taxi.
Great. You love Taxi. You're just a big fan of 70s comedy.
All right, what are the other characteristics, Pat?
There are often quote mine studies that, if bent properly, appear to support the appeal to authority that they'll find somebody who believes in it and then say, well, if Neil deGrasse Tyson bought a book on this, therefore...
I'm a neurosurgeon and I take vitamins every day for my
For my neuro.
For my general neuro.
For all of them. All my neuros.
They apply studies that actually were about different unrelated topics.
Sure.
Sometimes inventing a problem or just attributing some sort of correlation to a cure or something. Yeah.
Then disdain for objective randomized studies. So, you know, anything that has a true study with, like, double-blind testing and all is just poo-pooed because those things can be faked.
Right.
Oh, who did the testing is what I want to know. It sounds like something Big Pharma's doing to keep you away from my essential oils.
Let's see. Then you have... often involves the supernatural or paranormal. There's a persecution complex because big government's not allowing you.
Big pharma.
Big pharma.
They don't want you to know this easy cost-saving secret to thinner cheeks.
And as it says, number 7, almost always is willing to share the woo peddler's precious knowledge for a price.
I've had a couple friends that I actually had to unfollow on Facebook because they fell prey to this in the form of essential oils. And a lot of them were, a couple of them were fest people, which, you know, it totally makes sense. And a couple of them were like kind of just sort of hippie, you know, paganish spiritualism kind of people. And then one is someone I've known for a long time who actually, for her, it was a wellness thing. She's really into like life wellness coaching and like, you know, vitamins and, you know, body health. And so all of these across all these different, you know, these different, they were all women. And they all were claiming that they had found like a mix of essential oils that would fix their migraines or cured their joint pain or had made it so that they weren't tired at the end of the day or that was solving their sleep problems. And it was always like, so these essential oils are like $50 a bottle and you need to get like at least 10 or 12 of them because you have to be able to mix them to get the best the effects. You can't just get essential lemon oil and fix something. You need 2 drops of that and 1 drop of lavender and 3 drops of other one.
Some witch's brew that they know that
and then you drink it
combined.
Or you apply it
or
you
smell
it
or
you wash your body with it. I mean, it was like
aromatherapy is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's what basically
all it is. All you got to do is put this thing that smells like something into this machine and it'll spray aroma that will make you feel better.
And now there is something to that because like I have a little jar of bergamot oil that I keep at my desk because I love that smell. And when I'm very smell oriented, and when I'm having stress or when there's a bad smell in my office, which happens a lot because I share an office with a bunch of people, like I can dab a little bit of that on my, like under my nose or on my fingers, and I will feel more calm. But it's not because the oil is doing it.
There have been plenty of psychological studies to show that scents have a profound sense that are connected to emotional situation have a profound emotional effect on people. But it's not like what aromatherapy says is if you smell rose oil, it will make you respond in this way. And
they're
it doesn't
saying
matter
a,
who you are.
They're saying there's a chemical reaction similar to
your liver will expel more toxins.
Right. it's like they're claiming it works in the same way that like insulin does. Like it's not medicine. These aren't having a chemical reaction inside you that's fixing you or making you better.
Right. But the thing is, you know, because placebo or psychosomatic reactions are strong, documented, and real, you get people who are like, well, you know, what does it matter if it's actually doing the thing it claims, or if it's just making me feel good because I think it's doing the thing it claims? What do you care? Mm-hmm. What do you care if I do it? I'm like, I don't care if you do it. I care that now I'm seeing 10 Facebook posts a day about you selling it to other people.
As a solution
for that. I've got to, you know, you're saying to our other friend who's got chronic migraines, I know you don't have health insurance, so don't try to go to the neurologist to see if you have cancer. Instead, I've got really great success with this grapefruit oil and this like amazing eucalyptus combination that has been proven to reduce your symptoms. It's
even though it hasn't.
Yeah.
Well, I was reading something just today about observation bias in your own, like just your own anecdotal viewpoints and how your brain is tricking you into attributing solutions to your problems.
Yes.
And it could be like your baby is teething is one of the examples they gave, and they said you know, your baby is going to go through a teething pain that lasts maybe like a week or two per tooth. Sometimes that overlaps. It's coming and going in waves. So by the time someone tells you, "Oh, you know, worked really great for my kids is I did this." And then you try that, they're already on like the downward slope of recovery towards a period where, you know, before the next teething pain comes. But to you, it seems like I just started using this and all of a sudden my baby started crying less, or was less fussy. This must be working.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a measured thing. You didn't just like discover a solution. You just observed something that may have seemed related, but where it was in fact actually totally unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying they used like migraines or chronic pain as an example for
chronic pain
taking
pulse,
drugs in reaction to having a symptom. Well, your symptoms might have passed in 3 hours anyway.
Well, and Pat, you've had, you know, chronic pain, chronic conditions, you know,
a little over 10
stomach
years.
Stuff for over 10. So I imagine that a lot of this has been pitched to you miracle cure. Like, what sorts of things have people pitched to you as will fix you? That medical science has not been able to do.
Okay, let's see. There's the Chinese herbs.
Mm.
I don't know what they are, but I got them from the Chinese grocery store, and they said this was good, and of course it's just covered in characters, and and they work.
Did you buy it by like the eighth or by the quarter?
Let's see. Then there's the various poultices.
Really?
Getting things together.
Poultices, that's so witchy.
It's just like herb bandage, right? Like
it's something you read about in fantasy novels.
Yeah,
always put poultices on wounds in like medieval fantasy novels.
This is drow venom. We need to apply swamp moss.
Forehead and eye mask.
To like draw out for headaches or something, or like for lots of other things.
I think it's a combination of it's something that you smell, like a cool or warm compress on your forehead to help with that. So
also, you're lying down, which is helping a lot just in general because you're lying down.
And, you know, it's covered in a quiet space.
Yeah,
sure.
Let's see, all the different things of boil this with teas or ginger or whatever.
For stomach, it's always eat this, but you have to eat it every day for 2 weeks before you can know if it's working or not.
You need to buy a 2-month supply
from
us.
Don't do it during the full moon because that'll interfere with your cycle.
Bath things, various things to pour into bath water
Like, there are things like, this gets confusing because there's things like Epsom salts.
Which don't scientifically work, I've just found out. I looked that up just today because I was like, oh, if we're going to talk about woo, I wonder how I'm going to look up Epsom salts. There is nothing scientific about Epsom salts. There's no scientific evidence that your body can absorb magnesium that way or anything.
But yet they're recommended by doctors.
And yet there's no scientific evidence.
It's just a nice way to get someone to take a hot bath and take care of themselves. And that's where the actual benefit is.
Usually the hot bath is what does most of it.
Amazing.
It's amazingly inexpensive.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
At least an Epsom salt is.
I take hot baths all the time, but I've taken them with Epsom salts and been like, oh yeah, I feel way better. And it's super placebo.
Confirmation bias is a powerful thing.
It really is.
Yeah. Well,
You also tried acupuncture at one because it was like, nothing else is working. Why not fucking try it?
After years of nothing working, acupuncture, even laying down and the things kind of hanging out, like, whatever, nope.
And see, the thing is, this is where the woo peddlers, like when we talked about faith healing, you know, this is where, it's super dangerous because they are preying on people for whom nothing has worked, and they are of the opinion, well, fuck it, nothing else has worked, so here's $300, I guess I'll just see. I'm willing to try anything.
Taking advantage of desperate people who are
in chronic pain, my cancer is not responding to chemo, mm-hmm. I can't seem to lose weight, all the different things that they give, all the reasons they use for those for people.
Well, and what bothers me, I mean, and this is going on a political rant for a moment, but a lot of this stuff is legal. You know, like acupuncture is legal. You can charge faith healing is legal.
Yep.
And yet something which has been proven to give relief, medical marijuana, is something we're still fighting over.
Fuck, recreational marijuana.
We shouldn't be fighting over either. But medical marijuana to me is like, why is this even about?
Right. Yeah, agreed.
There is all sorts of evidence that shows that medical marijuana works.
Scientific evidence.
Yeah. There's all sorts of scientific evidence that shows it works for pain relief.
No one can argue that it's a drug that has actual effects at this point. Like, whether you think it's dangerous or not, it does things effective to your body. We can prove that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that we are freaked out about. As a country, it is something that we just cannot deal with, and we regulate the shit out of it.
So,
and then we don't regulate any faith healing. If you want to open up a place where somebody stands over you and doesn't touch you and massages your aura, which does nothing.
Definitively.
I mean, there's no way you can prove it does anything.
Doesn't even rub your muscles.
No.
That, we don't even argue. We don't have any fights about whether or not that should be legal.
Nope.
So, on that note, Tim, very recently, the Federal Trade Commission has said that they're pushing for specific labeling on homeopathic products. Because right now there's either no disclaimers, or the disclaimer will be something like, oh, these claims aren't regulated by the FDA. Like, that's all they have to say
But shit, that's on everything. So,
So, the FDA might not be doing more than having them say, oh, you can't say that this is medicine because we regulate medicine. The Federal Trade Commission, instead, is pushing for the verbiage they gave, which it might not happen exactly how they want it, is either there's no scientific evidence that this product works, or the product's claims are based on theories of homeopathy from the 1700s that are not accepted by most modern medical experts.
Wow, only 100 years off chiropractic.
And that's the assistant director of the Division for Advertising Practices at the Federal Trade Commission.
And you know, the funny thing is homeopathy, the homeopathy peddlers will be like, well, that'll hurt our business. And my response will be, you know what? Cigarettes stay right on the side that smoking cigarettes cause cancer and people buy them anyway.
Cigarettes are addictive.
Yeah.
They are.
They are. They have a chemical advantage.
They are chemically addictive, not just psychologically addictive.
Cigarettes actually do something to your body.
homeopathic products.
The worst thing you have with homeopathy is expensive urine.
My point is, if you put that on the side of a homeopathic product, it's not going to stop people from buying it.
No, it's not, really.
I've found one of the things that really got to me was when I was super crazy, and a lot of people either can't afford or don't want to take psych meds because they are very expensive. They have a lot of side effects, especially if you are bipolar with mania like I was. The drugs you have to go on to get better make you feel slow and dumb, and you sleep, and you feel like you're losing, quote, yourself, because, you know, the yourself is this crazy person. So the homeopathy peddlers go nuts on these forums and boards where crazy people gather to talk and to get support and stuff. And I imagine it's the same on chronic pain boards. They make accounts, and it's like, hi, guys, like, I cured my blank through this.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
And so people say Scientology promises the same thing. A cure for mental illness without medicine, as it's accepted
today. And
everyone
is like, oh, that's crazy. But,
and everyone,
but this
lemon
oil.
And most people are like, yeah, Scientology. Oh, they're con artists and bullshit artists. But this isn't...
Yeah.
It's preying on the same people in the same or similar way. I don't know.
So, I've been writing notes down because
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just scratching notes.
We also talk a lot.
Psychic healers. What? I have no idea.
I know.
I want to make
Can we talk more about national parks? I didn't get to talk much.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. I want to... Because we're talking about psychic healers.
Yeah.
I want to clarify a difference between psychic healers and the people who should be thrown in jail of psychic surgeons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And for those who don't know what that is, they go one step further. They're basically really good
sleight
of hand magicians and pretend to take out organs and various things from
tumors.
The final scene of Man on the Moon is
Hoffman.
A very good example
Andy
of this.
Movie.
Yeah.
They're
bags
palming
of chicken
livers.
And, you know, that is, and I honestly, psychic healing, this is what I find very funny. Tim's point about, you know, it's totally legal and unlicensed to have someone, you know, say they're going to massage your aura and you can give them money. I can't, in the state of Minnesota, give somebody $200 to fuck me, but I can give them $200 to put their hands above me and claim that they are healing my cancer.
Which, to be fair,
is their
fucking
aura.
You.
With their aura, right.
Yeah.
So, but, like, we can't have sex.
No,
like, that's so crazy.
Because
I know what they say. They're like, well, the thing is, that business transaction is between consenting adults. You're consenting to them massaging your aura, and they're consenting, you know, and it's amazing.
They can't say it'll cure your cancer.
They can say it might alleviate your symptoms.
Yep.
And help you.
Yep. They can make all sorts of...
But
they
we
have to
can't have
that
sex.
Issue.
Because that's illegal.
Right.
I just think it's super weird that I can pay someone to do almost anything to me except have sex with me.
Or kill you.
Or kill me. I mean, that makes more sense,
right?
Unless they're
a sexual therapist, and then they can do it.
That's true.
That is true.
Or you're recording it.
Or if there's a third person there with a video camera and we upload it for free to the internet, then it's legal.
Then
you're paying an actor.
Yeah. No, yeah, then you're paying an actor.
You're paying an actor.
Believe me, they're paying an actor either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you...
Sorry.
No, the third floor of the Science Museum of Minnesota actually has a little corner...
Yes.
...dedicated just to woo and has some of the, like, the characteristics of
pseudoscience.
Fraud, pseudoscience. They have those, and they have, like, a little game that kids can play and vote on. And so kids.
Oh.
Kids. Because we did it when we were there, and it was awesome. But it's for kids. But it was awesome.
So, what's great, go to the state fair. I mean, excuse me, go to the science museum, look at all those things, and then go to the state fair and see how many different peddlers are selling things
out there.
It has exploded in the last couple years.
I don't think I've been to the state fair in 5 years.
Oh, because it's always Ring Fest.
If you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I will almost always, when we're at the state fair or at the Home and Garden show, there's almost always a couple of woo peddlers, and I will always take a picture of them and post
for it. For essential oils, for...
the thermal wraps that slim your waistline with, all you have to do is wrap yourself with this seaweed capsaicin
and cling film
thing and cling film and it shrinks
always,
you.
There's almost always somebody with magnets.
Oh yes.
Oh, the magnets.
The magnet.
My grandma had the magnet bracelets for a really long time, and I was just like, I mean, they're not doing anything. And she's like, I am telling you, I feel 10 years younger. And it's like,
great.
Okay, then I guess wear your goddamn $400 bracelet.
proof that the placebo effect is real.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the whole. Removing toxins is a huge
thing. Yeah.
And I went to several of them and I asked how much or what the list of the toxins they were getting rid of were.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any and they didn't know where there was to look for
right.
the list.
Right.
Like, then how do you know they're actually removing anything? Well, they remove toxins.
They just, you feel so much better. You can tell your toxins are gone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They went with my aura.
My mom bought these things that they were like, they were sticky white patches that you put on your feet. And they sucked out all your toxins through the soles of your feet. Ancient Chinese secret. And at the end of the day, you would peel them off. And sure enough, like there would be like a black footprint on this thing. Now, I could not figure out what it was. I mean, obviously, it's not drawing toxins out. But it was like, because it's like, okay, my feet are clean. So it's not pulling dirt out of my feet. I even scrubbed my feet with a pumice stone to make sure there wasn't some weird trapped anything. And it would still happen. And I think it might have been some kind of chemically reactive material. Some kind of oxidization that was in there that made it look like something so that there was a color change to make it look like it happened.
Like a pH change because of your sweat?
Or something, yeah. It was super... And she was like... She was... Fucking, there was no arguing with her. They were working. She felt better. And she gave the argument that most people will give, which is, you know, like I said before, what do you care? It made me feel better. Where's the harm? I feel better.
A $10 magnet bracelet, fine. The $2,000 appointments that you have to make 3 times a week, not so fine.
But let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat and I have gone on several cruises, and one of the things is if you ever go to like the spa gym thing, something that's huge on all of these cruises is detoxification.
Oh,
seriously, on cruises?
Is huge.
Oh, yeah.
It's huge. All the people working in the gyms, the personal trainers, all the people working in the salons, the masseurs, and all that. Their big thing is trying to sell you on these detoxification programs.
What?
And they will have like scheduled things once a day where you come in and they do an hour and they explain to you how all these toxins get into your body.
What?
And it's true.
And
do they actually name any chemicals?
Nope.
They talk about sunscreen. You know, every time you put on sunscreen, it gets absorbed into your skin and not.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Out. Not all of it comes out. It stays in there.
That's why you wash.
It stays in there and it toxifies you, Molly. And so
deodorant gives you breast cancer.
And so they say
that's actually been disproven.
They say, you know, all that stuff is in your body and it retains water. And if you're trying to lose weight, and this is their big thing, because I remember right when I was first diagnosed as diabetic and I was really working hard on dropping a bunch of weight, and I was doing very well, but I had plateaued and
you're on a cruise.
Yeah. Well, that I'd plateaued before I got on the cruise.
Still though, I was not
stupid that I was going to gain weight on the cruise.
Yeah.
But they do this big thing about, you know, there's this detoxification program. It gets all the toxins out of your body. It'll help you lose weight. And it's just this situation where you do these, you take these pills and you do this pill for a week and then this pill for a month and then this pill for another month. And the whole thing's like only $350. I mean, it is a ridiculous amount of money that they're asking for.
And then they tell you that based on a per pill thing, it's only like 40 cents a pill.
And if you think about it, isn't that really what you're... I mean, if you just cut out your daily coffee, mm-hmm. which you shouldn't drink anyway, mm-hmm. toxins, you're really doing yourself a favor and in the long run. Think of the money you'll save on medical bills.
If my body has toxins in it, I guarantee coffee is getting more toxins out of it than it's putting in me.
It's the toxins thing is another one that I know that one of my friends right now is not super happy with me because I'm that asshole who keeps snopesing all of her posts. And like the one that's like, you know, the bell peppers with 4 bumps are male and the ones with 3 bumps are female.
What?
And the ones with 3 bumps are sweeter because they're female.
What?
Legitimate post someone put up.
What?
It's not true. Isn't that funny?
No, of course it's not true.
And then, or like, you know, the whole like, The juice cleanse. This was a big thing for a while. Cleanse, the lemon juice, maple cayenne syrup. Pepper, maple syrup cleanse. And I'm like,
grapefruit diet.
And I was like, that's an eating disorder. And they're like, no. It's a cleanse, and you only do it for 2 weeks. I'm like, you're going on a liquid diet for 2 weeks. You're going to lose 20 pounds. You could go on a liquid diet where all you drink is Coca-Cola in the same amounts.
Oh, same. Okay.
In the same amounts of what they did for the cleanse.
Gain weight on nothing but Coca-Cola.
I mean, but the thing is, like, you're hungry, and you're filling, all you're doing is you're filling your stomach cavity. You're not sating your brain, and it's just, it's so
insidious. So, yeah, you're going to lose weight. And the thing about these detoxification things is, I mean, the reason they're doing it is these people who are working in these gyms and stuff get paid something.
Oh, yeah,
but they make money every time they sell one of these detoxification programs. And it doesn't matter whether it works or not. So it's just that's firsthand experience.
Oh, absolutely.
What they're doing. And they're doing it at a perfect time when people are gaining weight anyway because they're eating like crazy people.
So, I know we're getting close to the end. I'm seeing the hand signals. But there's a few more things.
Yeah.
We were talking about the FTC putting labels on it. How about the FTC actually requiring them to have in their pills what they say they're in their pills?
Oh, right.
That would be amazing.
Because what was it, 2 years ago, some group did a test of a bunch of pills from various organizations, from like Nature Company or whatever else. And like there was no garlic in the garlic pill. There was no cinnamon in the cinnamon pill.
No ginkgo in the ginkgo
pill. But there was cinnamon in the ginkgo pill.
Right.
And garlic, but no ginkgo.
It's always proprietary blend, too. Like they can get away with saying a proprietary blend of herbs. It's like, well, what the fuck is that? Like,
oh,
what is
we can't that? Tell but you we patented it.
Yeah.
But if it says cinnamon, it has to have cinnamon in it.
Right, yeah.
And then they found, it doesn't actually have any of the stuff in it that it says it does.
I had a doctor when I went in for my GI stuff, and she was, before they prescribed the endoscopy and realized I just have an ulcer and they needed to heal it, she was like, you know, she recommended this thing to me that was, it's woo, it's Pepcid, it's like Pepcid, some letter number combination that like you can get over the counter that is just peppermint oil and something else, natural enzymes, whatever. And she's like, we've had a lot of patients have a lot of success with this. And I'm like, is this medicine? And she's like, well, no, I mean, it's not. I'm like, this isn't even approved by the FDA. I'm like, on their website. And she's like, well, hold on. But let me show you how it works. I'm like, okay. And she pulls up the chart that shows there's a drawing of a stomach. And it's all red. The stomach's real red and angry. And then the next drawing, there's little blue dots coming down into the stomach. And everywhere the blue dots touch, they make the angry red stomach turn blue.
Yay! And she's blue like, stomach.
And she literally
a blue stomach is
points.
A happy stomach.
This is a fucking nurse practitioner who points and says, so you can see how it works here. And I laughed because I thought she was fucking with me. And she was like, what? I'm like, I mean, that's a drawing. Like, what? Like, I just...
It doesn't
like,
tell you anything
okay,
medical
like,
at
okay,
all.
Okay, wow. Okay, yeah, you're right. I do see how the blue dots make the stomach turn blue.
I do see how when I swallow something, it goes into my stomach.
I have a diagram that'll show you how it works. And it's just like a picture of two words that just says, it does.
It's the same thing. Oh my God!
God, that's hilarious.
But like, that's the point: is it gets everywhere. That's a medical doctor.
Yeah.
I'm seeing with medical reasons, who has the ability to prescribe me medical medicine, who is telling me to take this fucking peppermint pill. I do. Yeah. Yep.
Oh. Pat, do you have anything you want to add before we go to five questions?
Yeah. Just a few more things that were listed on me for the C also on this wiki page.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to list all of them, but these are all links that you can link to, and there's other articles about specific things like automotive woo.
Ooh.
Then there's crystals.
Oh,
fusion.
Shit. Fusion.
Uh-huh. Light.
Fusion power.
You know, light colors and things like that. Paramilitary woo evidently is another thing. Didn't have time to click that link before starting, but
I'm
was
curious.
Like, yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
Quantum salt.
Quantum salt.
What?
Is it
quantum, comma, next one salt?
Oh, I was like, is quantum salt salt that traveled through time?
No, it's the smallest little grain of salt you can possibly find.
It's the kinds of salts that you can do to do different things.
Oh, like bath salts.
Well,
that's
which until today we thought worked.
Various things like that.
Something.
And then, in case anyone out there has not heard or seen, Tim mentions Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You need to do that. Yeah. Have it as
we'll have to link it that as a show
notes. They have a word for that. It's medicine.
Yes.
I've posted that in response to folks on Facebook a number of times.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm just done arguing that argument.
The three times that I was the most susceptible to woo stuff were my digestive, my ongoing 8 years of digestive problems that felt like they would never end. When my skin, I developed this crazy skin rash.
Oh.
So my skin was insane all over my face and mouth. And it was like, one of those things where like any actual like steroids will make it worse and any rash cream will make it worse. So there's not much. It turned out antibiotics fixed it. Go figure. But, and then the third time was when I had an eating disorder and I wanted to lose weight and it like the woo of, the 2-4-6-8 diet where one day you eat 200 calories, the next day you eat 400 calories, the next day you eat 600 calories, the next day you eat 800 calories, but then when you switch back to 200 calories, that jump, your body is like, I'm gonna burn, like it's gonna be 1,000, and you trick your body. It's like, you know that if you added all of those numbers up together, you still don't have one day's worth of food, right? Like, this is just anorexia with, like, magic rules that make you feel better about being anorexic. 200 calories a day is but not even an apple.
But you will lose weight. You'll lose weight.
Oh, I lost weight.
It's just like Sudoku isn't math. Like, it's...
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a trick. That's starvation.
But that's when... It's like, those are times when you're at your most vulnerable. You know, it's about your face, which everyone sees, you know, like your weight, which we are conditioned to think needs to be different. And then like having pain, chronic problems. It's
there are things you're like, I will try this now.
I'll try anything.
I was willing to.
So, Pat, you've been on before, as we mentioned at the beginning.
Yes.
And so you've answered our original five questions. Our new five questions.
New five questions.
Which means you have five questions of your own.
I do. Questions of your own.
I was writing stuff down, and I'm trying to figure out some good ones. Let's see. Starting with number one.
Mm.
What is your favorite animated character?
Ooh.
Animated character. Mm.
Oh.
If they appear live action or elsewhere, that's okay. We're talking about the animated versions.
I'm really thinking it's the...
Animated.
An animated
character that exists 100% animated.
Pretty much. Although, there's a lot of things that I've made into books and other words afterwards.
I have an answer that's...
All right.
I don't know if it skirts the rules, but it does make the most sense. Because I define puppetry as animation, and that would mean it's Kermit the Frog.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count.
God damn it!
It's not animation. Stop motion would count, though.
Stop motion-y thing, yes.
Claymation.
Claymation, I would absolutely count. Animated things
so
done differently.
Is this cheating to say, I particularly in Batman the Animated Series, that version of the Joker, that is my favorite Joker, that's the best Joker?
Well, the
with
Joker
Mark Hamill as the voice
comes from the comics.
I'm not saying the Joker is my favorite character in any sense, like in the comics, the movies or anything. In the cartoon Batman the Animated Series, that Joker is my favorite Joker.
Is that Joker your favorite animated character? Of all the things that have ever been animated, all the Miyazaki films,
he's
all the cartoons you've ever watched.
As a favorite,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have yours?
I know I'm gonna end up regretting it because I'm gonna be like, oh, I wish I should have done something else. But I will pick. I'm going to pick Eileen from Regular Show.
Because
Eileen from Regular Show is what animal is she? She's like a beaver.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
And she's a short little girl woman. She is a scientist who also has a part time job at a coffee shop. She is super creative and nerdy, but she's not like ashamed of being nerdy, and she never pretends that she's not nerdy.
Mm.
She just is who she is, and if you like her, that's great. And if you don't, it's probably because you don't get it. And she falls in love with Rigby, who at the time when you first meet him, you'll be like, oh, he'll never end up with somebody because he's too weird and crazy and difficult. And she's great. And that's just off the top of my head with no time to prepare.
Yeah, okay, since I'm not allowed to do what my real favorite is for...
Because it's not cartoon.
Animated. It's not animated at all.
There's so many choices, but for today, for now, I'm going to say Kronk from The Emperor's New Groove because he's adorable.
That's true.
That's a really good one.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Second runner-up, I'm going to go with... Rover from Animal Crossing, who is the cat you meet on the train, who is super funny.
I don't know.
I feel like the Joker was a fair answer.
Maybe Steven from Steven Universe.
Yeah,
is what I would say. Alternatively, I guess I identify a lot with this young animated boy for a variety of reasons. I'm glad he exists. More than any other cartoon character around right now, I think.
I still feel like the Joker's admissible, but...
You know. Yeah.
It's true, but I don't think that's his favorite all-time animated character. That's the thing. Yeah. So, it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
And for mine, I like Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maleficent.
Yeah. She's awesome. She is.
She's a super classic, iconic.
See, when Pat and I talk about Disney villains, she likes Maleficent, and I like Chernabog from Fantasia. But I like Chernabog for the design, not for the character.
Well, yeah. There's not a whole lot to the character except opening up, having a party, and then going closing. Away.
I've always liked the Evil Queen from Snow White for a villain, and Ursula, though. Ursula is my first Disney villain that for me that was
poor,
it wasn't it didn't oh my god yeah I yeah she yeah. was so I remember as a kid being like, she's tricking you, how do you not, she just told the eels she's tricking you,
oh, you're not paying attention.
I hear that. You're so stupid for that stupid boy.
Captain Hook's
just,
a good
you just
Disney
swam
villain.
Past all the people that for, she said she
I feel
had
like Disney animation
cold.
Has to be a separate category because Disney's
almost.
Its own thing
yeah.
you know like yeah,
yeah.
What and then yeah. well then 3D or 2D or
so
much. And all that. Yeah.
Anyway,
what's
damn
question
you,
number
Pat.
Two? Ah. Yeah.
Already coming from an atheist, that really means something.
Yeah.
Already. So when you're blue or sick or just feeling bleh, what is your favorite comfort food?
Oh, grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Hmm.
All right.
Mashed potatoes is a close second.
I like to do basically what I call fake egg lemon soup, because I love Greek egg lemon soup, but making it at home is a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
So you take Mrs. Grass soup mix, you get rid of the noodles, you add lemon juice and rice.
Hmm.
And you boil the shit out of the rice until it's super, super soft. And then you eat that. And that's what I would say.
When I was a kid, it was a thing they don't make anymore. Which is a Campbell's soup called noodles and ground beef. It looked like vomit, and it was amazing. It was basically just ground beef and peppers and noodles, and that was it looked awful. Like, I ate it still in college. They stopped making it, I want to say, 1998 or so.
Huh.
But that was when I was a kid. But so now I would say peanut butter toast.
Mm.
Peanut butter toast. I could, if I'm having a bad day, I could just eat piece after piece of peanut butter toast.
My soup was called Meatball Alphabet, and it's not
Meatball
there
Alphabet was good,
it was
too.
Delicious, and it's gone.
Noodles and ground beef, though, man. That was my... I miss you, noodles and ground beef!
I was turned on to my, like, monster of a human being. I mean that in an adorable, endearing way. Roommate Victor used to eat cold condensed chicken noodle soup out of the can
with a
spoon.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was like, that's like garbage person food. And then I had a bite, and now I know that that is concentrated deliciousness.
The first time I went to someone's house and her mom made us soup using the full can of water, I was like, what? Like, Campbell's soup is one can per person. It is salty and horrible condensed. You don't add water.
You
oh my god.
You didn't even need to heat it up. You can just stick a spoon in it.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
good. Cold.
What's yours?
Yeah.
A grilled cheese sandwich
with
tomato soup from Campbell's. Only you make it with full can as opposed to with water, with whole milk.
Oh, hell yeah. We made milk. Yep.
For
to
sure.
add that fat to
yep.
it.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
So good. It's
yeah,
more like a bisque.
Took milk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. What is, you believe, to date, the best adapted either comic or book to either TV or movie?
Fight Club.
Fight Club's good.
And by adapted, I don't mean necessarily...
Mm-hmm.
the most accurate.
Right, right. Just the best version.
The best version of it.
There was something recently that was super... super spot on.
Well, I mean, this is difficult. I could go with my favorite adaptation, but I'm not going to in this case.
Because Molly's in the room and you'll get punched.
Yeah, I think I'll go with...
Is The Shining your favorite adaptation?
No. The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, that's a very faithful adaptation.
Oh, no, The Shawshank Redemption is amazing. And it is not wholly faithful to the source material, but it's still probably...
It's as faithful as it can be.
One of my most favorite movies. But, yeah. But here I'm thinking more comics. And while I really have enjoyed all the Marvel movies and everything like that, I think one of the most faithful adaptations of comic to film that I can remember was Sin City.
The first one was really good. Pretty great.
The second one was fucking garbage.
Yeah, well, that's why I said Sin City and not Sin City 2.
Yeah, there are very few movies that Nick and I actually turn off and we're just like, we're good. Like, and that was one of them. Mm. We got about 20 minutes in, and it was like, yeah. I'm good on Sin City 2.
For a Sin City movie, it was overproduced.
I'm going to say Marvel's Alias turned into Jessica Jones, the show. So far, it's been... Because I am a person who... I don't see the point in doing an adaptation if you're not going to be faithful with it. That makes me crazy. Like, I wish that that Stanley Kubrick's The Shining had just been called The Overlook Hotel. Because it wasn't The Shining. It was almost The Shining. It was Shining adjacent. And I don't understand. This happens a lot. But no, it's not even just that. It's not even just that. Nick can tell you, this makes me fucking nuts when it's like, they take a book and they're like, let's do kind of the opposite of almost every part of the book. But we're going to trade on the book's name. The Magicians is a great example of this. The Magicians by Lev Grossman. God. Amazing book trilogy. The Magicians, the show, is like, what if it was like in the books, but different? What if everything in the book was opposite of how it is? And then like, also it was sexier. Let's make that show. It's like, well, then why don't you just fucking make a show about kids who do magic and are sexy? That has nothing. I mean, just, I don't get it.
Like, everything that was wrong with the Magicians adaptation, it was what was wrong with... when MTV brought Skins over.
Yeah.
It was like, no, you don't understand why this show is good. You thought it was because it was sexy and young. No, because it's pretty.
But yeah, I'll say if you liked the show Jessica Jones and you haven't read the Marvel comic run, The Alias from Marvel Max, read it. Also, there's new Jessica Jones comics out now, which are great.
Alias is 4 trades, written by Brian Michael Bendis and artist by Alex Maleev.
Yeah, that's really good.
You know, I'm going to change my answer to Deadpool because I think that's more in the spirit.
Oh, that was a great...
That's more in the spirit of
the question.
The original... No,
of the original comics.
I feel like, how do you make a successful Deadpool anything? It has to be violent. It has to be self-aware. It has to have pop culture references.
And sex.
It has to be kind of irreverent. Not necessarily sex, but he has to have...
Sex jokes.
Sexy humor.
Lots of sex stuff in the... Yeah.
I feel like... every single box there was to check for like for something to be like a Deadpool thing, they did it all.
Yeah, they checked a lot of boxes in that movie. Well, they checked one box a lot of times.
All right, and you already had yours or no?
I did. Mine was Sin City.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not Sin City 2.
Right, okay, I remember that now. For. Mine actually is The Hunt for Red October.
Good choice.
The reason why it is why I really like it, because a lot of people are like, it's awful lot not like the book, because it isn't. There's so much stuff in the book that's so detail oriented and gritty and how somebody knows something, and but they kept the feeling of the book and they changed just enough to make the story that they made the movie into a very good story that is, because they couldn't have made the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't try. They're like, okay, and for here, we're doing it this way because it makes more sense.
Sure.
So
because
really,
we can do a scene that lasts 2 minutes instead of a scene that lasts 12.
Yeah.
Or a scene that lasts 4 books or something.
A good book can do a good movie for different reasons.
Yes.
That's, you know, I sincerely hope that my answer will change soon, and it will change to either King The Dark Killer. Tower or American Gods.
King Killer
is a fucking pipe dream right now. Yeah. I don't believe anything. Oh, a dude is gonna do something with it. Good. That's been said a million times about the stuff I love. But Dark Tower is being filmed and American Gods is being filmed, and so I look forward to
American
that.
American Gods is being finished.
Yep.
They're out of shooting.
Question 4.
Yeah.
Question 4. what geeky material just doesn't do it for you? Now, to be clear, I'm not saying you hate it or dislike it or anything. This is really something that other people are huge on and you are
Yeah, I know the answer for me.
What's yours?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
I just can't get into it. I've watched many episodes and been like, that was a very good TV show, and I have no interest to watch the next episode. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's nothing I can say that's bad about it.
Right.
It doesn't look like... The actors are good. Yeah. The writing is good.
The actors aren't that good.
It just doesn't...
I get done watching it and go, I don't need to see
the Firefly?
Next one. I liked Firefly, but I've watched it once.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But Firefly is not the same thing. I mean, I wanted to watch all the episodes of Firefly.
I think
at least part of it is vampires have never done it for me.
Sure.
And while it is not all vampires in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there is a lot of vampires, way more than I give a shit about.
Yeah.
The second half of the show is almost very little vampire, actually. But not to...
But in any
case. Yeah. The reason I asked about Firefly is like, because if you like quippy dialogue and good group dynamics and stuff like that, like that's what you'd look for. I mean, if all it did it for you was the setting, then it's not a good question.
Do you know yours?
I sure do.
What's yours?
I have outgrown Doctor Who, and I have just come to accept that now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 5 or 6 episodes.
I wouldn't even say outgrown, moved past.
Moved
past. Probably the better way.
That's better.
Outgrown sounds like you're better than them.
No, it's not that. It's just that.
Move past.
I think it happened during Matt Smith, and I realized it about 5 or 6 episodes into Capaldi, before that first Christmas episode with him. And I was just like, you know what? I don't think this is for me anymore. And that's fine. I don't begrudge anyone their love for it. And I have fond memories dating back to, you know, like sitting on my dad's lap and watching Tom Baker as Doctor Who, my first Doctor, and I love some of the new stuff. I just, it's just not my thing anymore.
Right,
that's fair.
I'm gonna say like real like classic traditional anime, like Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, Ghost in the Shell is all right. That's more sci-fi anime, like just the stuff where it's like people who fight. And it's samurai style, even like Pokemon, Digimon, like that kind of stuff. One Piece. There was one you were watching for a while that with the dude in the armor.
Full Metal Alchemist.
Full Metal Alchemist.
It's so good though.
What's the one like a lot of that stuff? I can watch it and I'll be like, all right. But I don't ever really get into it. It's never going to be my thing. There's some anime that I love. I love Cowboy Bebop. I really love Death Note. I really love... there's others. There's some that I really like. What I will call like classic anime, where it tends to be like very samurai styled.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, we are fighting and we have an honor code.
You don't want to go home and watch Ninja Scroll.
Yeah. I'm just, that will never be for me. If I ever had a friend who was like, I'm so into the Sailor Moon.
To get into Samurai Champloo, and you didn't even really like that much.
I tried to get into Samurai Champloo. It was just okay. Oh, I didn't really like, what really was the other too. One with the girl and the little girl and the motorcycle lady, or the little, and the, she was super awesome. Hakumi Haru Miki.
Oh, Furikuri?
No, Furikuri I don't like. Michiken and...
And Hachan.
Hachan?
Yeah.
That was all right.
That was okay. I gave up on that too.
But it seems to be a really prevalent... You go to Convergence and it's like, I can see so many costumes and I'm like,
but you're like,
wow, that's an amazing costume. I have no interest in finding out what that
you're
is.
You're not like, that's a Naruto costume and they're from Gurren Lagann. You don't know.
Even if I can recognize like some Naruto stuff, it's very much in that passing... I'm a geek and I find it important to have a very passing understanding of what this stuff is.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to go sit in Theater Nippon for hours and and eat lychee gummies and like giggle at the screen. So that's just not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? Yeah.
It's the Dresdens.
The Dresden stuff, really?
The Dresden stuff. It's everything on that list are things that are in my sweet spot.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Have you listened to it?
No.
I tried to read the first two and I was like, "Buh, these are dumb." And then I started listening to the audiobooks and I was taken away. Like, I was like, I am fully wrong, so.
Maybe. Because honestly, it's that whole, oh, look, the new Dresden book's out. Okay. Don't you want to read it? No, not really.
Yeah.
Nothing about it said, hey, do this.
Dresden audiobooks are my junk food. Ooh. Fantasy book.
They're read by James Marsters, and they're and he's really good. Yeah. But that's my only recommendation. I would have to give it one last shot. That'll be like me the time I really tried to, you know, I'm gonna lump like old kung fu movies in with the anime. I think that's part of why I don't really get into it.
Oh yeah, you hate old kung
it's
fu.
Just, I don't hate them. I'm just it's but
like
just,
if I'm like, oh, Enter the Dragon's on, you're like pass.
I'm like, okay, hard pass. I'll go do something else. Like yeah. I just it's just not gonna be for me.
Oh, and then another one I suppose would be for me is. Movies that are slasher porn.
Really?
I find them stupid.
Oh, that's fair.
I find them dumb. I find the characters unrealistic.
Because you know they're not actually dying, so it's like, what's
No. I mean, I can be very emotional on various other things. Things, you know, that are suspenseful. Mm-hmm. Good. Sometimes a jump scare, but it's the gore porn that I find dumb. The women are pretty much stupid.
They are stupid. Women are dumb.
Going away, and I find them dumb. Everyone's like, oh, that's right, you don't like horror. I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Someone thinking I'm a precious flower, and I'm like, no, you don't want me there because I'll be laughing when you're like, oh, my God,
I don't
gross.
Like shitty movies.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are like better, it's like, it's gore porn. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything for me.
Did you see the Evil Dead remake?
No.
Probably don't.
I mean, it's if so. What you're saying is, if the sole appeal is like volume of blood and amount of like shocking violence, those aren't features you're looking for. But if it has other things in addition to those, then
I like Silence of the Lambs a lot.
But see, Silence of the Lambs doesn't have any like gore. Yeah.
But like Cabin in the Woods did, and it was also funny and clever.
I really like Cabin in the Woods, and it doesn't hit that same.
But it has a shitload.
You might like
of blood.
Evil. You might like Evil Dead then, because Evil Dead is really gory.
It's not necessarily the blood; it's how it's done.
It's the torture porn as opposed to a gore fest.
There's some brutal shit in Evil Dead,
That's true.
Yeah, all right.
It just does nothing for me. And I know a lot of people are like, "Oh, that's right. That you don't like those. It's scary." I'm like, "No, it's not scary. I don't find them scary at all."
Yeah, that's the problem.
I'm like, oh, I got to slug through.
I feel that way about demon possession movies.
Yeah,
I'm just like, nope. Yeah. Not
question five.
Last one.
Question. So, what is your favorite current web, blog, or comic to go to?
Shit. I don't know.
I can buy you guys time.
All right.
Once upon a time, I used to read about like 20 to 30 web comics a day, maybe.
Yeah.
I started reading web comics in like the boom of web comics when Penny Arcade and PvP and Control Alt Delete and Something Positive and all that were starting up. And I've really whittled it down over the years, and I stopped reading like Girl Genius, which is super good. And the one thing beside like Penny Arcade, the one thing I stick with is Order the Stick. It is a stick figure D&D fantasy setting that is kind of fourth wall breaky in a jokey way, where, you know, one of the characters is clearly a bard and has all the limitations thereof, and one is a elf wizard and has, you know, spell slots and has to memorize spells. They operate as if they were in the 3.0 or 3.5 Pathfinder style D&D rules in their fantasy world, but they're not like someone's campaign. This is the rules are governing them are the same as the RPG rules, and they're somewhat aware of it. It's been going on for I don't know, I want to say like eight or nine years now, and it's still this. The updates are slow, but I really look forward to it every week.
I have been spending a lot of time on SCP Foundation.
Really?
So there's this thing Nick pointed me to. It's www.scp-wiki.net, and it's like, okay, so it's like it's fiction, but it's like real fiction. I don't know how to explain it. They make it like fictional real world. So like, there's all these articles and reports and like official kind of documentation of these strange phemena. And there's parts that are redacted, and there's parts that, like, they'll say, you know, subject, you know, redacted, you know, entered, you know, the closet at 1:49 p.m. Eastern on December 29th, subject did not reappear. you know, subjects was never found, you know, things, just weird things like that. So there's like, you know, like there's, it'll just haunted things or unexplained phenomenon things. And it's kind of this weird, I don't know. I like it. I've only been on a little bit, but like the like that's where I go when I have time to kill and I want to just, it's like, that's my, my wiki hole. Cause rather than read about real things, why not read a wiki about fake things?
It's kind of like a, wiki as a,
it's like an X-Files. It's like, yeah, if you, it's like totally. If you could look into the X-Files, this is what you would read.
Yeah.
And it's, so it's not episodic and it's not any kind of story. You kind of, you're on your own, but you can find stuff and people submit things.
I
and
think that some of the articles have case files on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you can be like, you can read about a thing, yep, and then you can be like, if you're going to read more about this, see the attached case files, and like the middle one will be missing.
Yeah, second runner-up is if you haven't watched the YouTube video, This House Has People in It, do that, oh, and then fall into that rabbit hole of weird of weirdness. So
yeah, yep. What's the disease?
It's Lynx.
Yeah, Lynx this disease. Is hard for me. I don't tend to spend a lot of time with favorite web comics or anything like that, so...
Blogs.
I guess my and blogs, I mean, I read The Friendly Atheist a lot as far as far as the atheist bloggers that I read on a semi-regular basis. He's the one that gives me information that I find useful most of the time because he actually spends a considerable amount of time verifying information.
Yeah.
And as much as I agree with a lot of my friends who do a lot of social justice blogging, I can only read one or two blogs on a particular subject and I'm like, okay, got it. And I don't need to read the rest of them. But I, what I'm going to say, even though he puts it out so sporadically, but I still, whenever John Kovalik puts out a new Dark Tower, I go read it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So that's the one that I'm going to say is I'll go read Dark Tower anytime I see that there's a new Dark Tower.
Pat?
Mine is a webcomic called Breaking Cat News. It is a comic. It's these lovely kitties. It's about three kitties who live in a house. It's Lupin, Elvis, and I keep forgetting the last one, Puck. And they basically tell what's happening in the house as if they are reporters. Kitty cat reporters. So it's like, you know, woman, and the owners are just woman and man. He's like, so, you know, woman brought in bag, smells interesting, locked it in closet, we're not allowed in. Going live to Puck on scene. Thank you, Lupin. Here I am on scene, and it smells really interesting, and now she's shooing me with a broom. It's just remarkably silly in...
Just cat stuff through the lens of cats as newscasters.
That's very funny.
Yes.
That sounds great.
It's
I like that.
It's ridiculous, and it's, what, one of those, like, 2-3 days a week things?
Sure.
Super small thing.
Regular, though. That's
regular,
that's
and
awesome.
I often will, like, wait a couple weeks and then do a little bit of a...
Binge?
Because, well, often there's things that they take several stories
to actually
get the full story out. And then I'll...
That's why I prefer to read trades.
Okay, great. One last thing before I get the close. One last thing I wanted to say, which is, because, a caveat for people who think Wu is from the Mandarin word Wu, which means shaman.
W-U.
And think it's insulting. And it isn't. There's actually... They have even showed the links as to how it came about.
The etymology
of it. It was short for woo-woo, which was started in the 90s by skeptics.
When people didn't think fire engines were real.
1990s, the woo-woo...
Interesting.
...was branded by some skeptics as ridiculous. And they think, although this article could not list a specific, like...
Right,
that it probably started from the somebody makes a, like, a magician does a trick and the audience goes
sure.
That makes a certain amount of sense,
yeah,
but that's where that. it is they think that's where it came from, but they can't find woo
but
zero
they can't, but they're pretty sure it's not.
No, they
the
know
one.
It's not,
yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, good to know. Well, thanks for being our guest, Pat, and talking with us about woo and pseudoscientific nonsense. If you, the listener, have anything to chime in about that, or you want to answer Pat's 5 questions, you can do that on our Facebook page or at geekswithoutgod.com. You can also respond to us on Twitter. We're at geekswithoutgod. We also have a Patreon up. We've bought a button maker, and we're working on that front, and we're going to... We've got some plans for maybe better recording equipment as a next project that we're kind of saving up for, but we would love your help towards that goal. So if you go to look for Geeks Without God on patreon.com, you can throw us a few bucks there and you can get almost all of our episodes, sometimes weeks early, because we sit down and record a few at a time a lot.
There are people who heard this episode 2 weeks ago.
It's true.
Damn, it's like you can see the future if you give us money, and that's not homeopathy.
Yeah, also if you subscribe to our Patreon, it removes all your toxins. That's literally, it removes them all and you die.
Dun, dun, dun.
You need toxins to live.
You don't need your liver anymore. Well, remove all
your toxins. Throw it
away. Sell it and then give us the money. No, yeah.
But you can, I've seen the package. You could buy it for the liver toxin recovery. As opposed to the kidney toxin recovery.
Of course.
Right.
It's very different. Very just different.
Yeah. Having a...
Tylenol versus Advil.
Right. Yeah. And on that note, we're Geeks Without God, and as always, have a great week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
The way things naturally occur when you use essential oils.